back, ladies and gentlemen, to another game night here with Eddie Soleil. Thanks for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening, tuning into the last show. I really appreciate it. All I really want is, you know, to keep growing the community of Laker and Patriot fans. So let's keep it rolling. For this show, we have Lakers. We're going to talk about how they have built their 20-man roster and really just some general transfer of the squad. Also, Team USA is undefeated in the 2019 FIBA World Cup. And today being September 7th, Saturday, the day before NFL Sunday, but this morning, Saturday, September 7th, Team USA in the FIBA World Cup, we beat Giannis Antetokounmpo's Greek national team 69-53, and so, you know, I was looking up at, you know, summary of the game, and Jaylen Brown confronted Giannis about a foul in the game, which led to a skirmish to the point where they had to get separated. It was a whole brawl between both teams. So, I mean, we're out there making a statement, you know, Jaylen Brown from the Celtics and Giannis from Milwaukee Bucks, definitely two Eastern Conference All-Stars. You know, there's always going to be some rivalry between those two players and those two teams. Also, we're going to talk about Patriots versus Steelers for Sunday Night Football. I won't talk too much about the Packers' victory over the Bears on Thursday night because it was a very boring game. But I'll also mention right now that some, you know, NFL news. Antonio Brown was released by the Raiders this morning. You know, after everything that happened with Antonio being on the Raiders, before even football gets played, his $29 million contract was waived after he was basically imposed more than $2,000 in fines for behavior detrimental to the team. And goodbye, Antonio Brown. I think Mike Mayock and John Gruden definitely are setting the precedent for this young team. You know, they do have a lot of undrafted rookies. I think they said that they're I was watching Hard Knocks last night. They said they have 12 undrafted and drafted rookies. So it's going to be a young team. They want to set the precedent for, you know, behavior that's going to be acceptable for the superstars that are in the making on that squad. So the Raiders kind of dodge a bullet there, and we'll see what happens with them. Also, good to see some signings. Also setting precedent in the NFL. Julio Jones today signs a 3-year, $66 million, and a 3-year extension worth $66 million. $64 million is guaranteed, making him the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And of course, over the last couple of days, Zeke becomes the highest paid running back in the league with a 6-year extension, $90 million, $50 million guaranteed. And then Jared Goff becomes the highest paid quarterback in the league, signing a 4-year extension, $134 million, with a record in the NFL, $110 million guaranteed. So good stuff in the NFL on those terms. You know, that just means that the game's not gonna go away. Players and prospects, superstars, they're gonna look at these numbers and say, you know what, I can work my way up to a salary of that kind of level because these outstanding players set the market again. They obviously set the standard for performance, and like, obviously if you perform at that level, you'll get paid at that level. But they do start, you know, setting the ceiling a little bit higher. Also, towards the end, I'm just going to run through a little bit of like my fantasy football plays. I really have just one. I'm on two fantasy leagues. one is for money, one isn't, and basically it's going to be a lot of fun keeping up with fantasy. This is going to be, I think, my fourth year, playing fantasy. The first two seasons, two leagues, I think the first four leagues that I was in, I got three championships. I remember once I made it to the championship, actually all four times in four leagues, I just lost the championship. I also didn't make a championship in another league, so I mean, I really like fantasy because it allows me to tap into the talent around the league. I care a little bit more about, you know, different teams and different storylines, and you know, it's really fascinating to see these players kind of like step into their own, and you get to pretend like, you know, you're the governor of your own team, and you're, you know, accepting these cool talent, you know, these players onto your squad, hoping that they can give you and render some good fantasy points to win your matchup of the of the week. So we'll get into that. Without further ado, we're gonna segue into our next segment with Lakers talk. We're just gonna talk a little bit briefly about some roster updates and ultimately what we're looking forward to in the next couple of weeks. Deuces. Stay tuned. Okay, so let's get into some Lakers talk. Just want to do some quick roster updates. I know we talked about this in the last episode, but you know, just to date back a little bit here. August 15th, DeMarcus Cousins tears his ACL. August 26th, Kyle Kuzma, he leaves the FIBA World Cup with a left ankle injury. And then August 26th, Dwight Howard signed to the team. They do have their offseason 20-man roster, which will reduce to 15 for the regular season. So, you know, we have a full squad. And over the offseason, you know, training camp and whatnot, we're going to be, you know, weeding out the players that will eventually leave the roster, and we'll be left with 15 guys, hopefully healthy heading into the, you know, the next season. So Dwight Howard, in a press conference, mentions that he is grateful for a second chance with the Lakers and wants to play the best, you know, for his team. You know, Dwight Howard, as we mentioned in the last episode, it's kind of a controversial player in the fans of most, in the eyes of most Laker fans, but it's looking like, you know, he's putting in the work in the offseason to really lock in and enter the season, start the season in the best way possible. So ultimately for the Lakers, we want, it's still early, you know, but we hope that Kuz and the rest of the team stays healthy throughout the offseason so that we can go into the regular season at 100% full health. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the Lakers. I don't have too much over the NBA other than what we mentioned about Team USA being undefeated in the World Cup. And we just hope that, you know, we end up victorious in that tournament. So with the Lakers talk all concluded, we shall segue right into Patriots talk. And you know, Patriots, like I mentioned in the intro, we play the Steelers Sunday Night Football, so stay tuned for some of that. All All right, let's get into it. Patriots talk. So I want to start this Patriots talk segment with roster updates. So I know, or around this time, basically the cutoff for teams to reduce their teams from 90 players to 53 has passed. You know, we're about to start the season. We already started the season with a terrible debut, the Packers beating the Bears. Not really good game, but you know what? Excited really that football's kicked off already. So with that being said, I was looking at our depth chart, our roster, and there are some notable changes that have happened. I won't really mention too much about the players that got cut, but with the roster that we do have, there are some players that won't necessarily be in on the first game of the season this Sunday tomorrow. So let's get into that. David Andrews, our center, is out for the season with blood clots in his lungs. I mean, I don't even know really how that happens, but you know, it's an ailment and he's out for the season. So that really changes up some consistency that we had, at least Brady had, with, I think, in my opinion, you know, between the left tackle and the center, the two main positions on that O-line. That being said, Isaiah Wynn moves to left tackle, and you know, these changes really mean early instability to that group at the start of the season. Ben Watson, our tight end that you know, started with us, or you know, he was with Tom for several years, then went to the Saints, now back with the Patriots. He's out for 4 games due to a suspension for violating performance enhancing substance policy. So he's gonna be coming back probably game 5. Brian Hoyer was released and signed by the Colts to be Jacoby Brissett's backup over in Indianapolis. So Jarrett Stidham is the only quarterback backing up Tom Brady. In my opinion, Jarrett Stidham, he looked great in the offseason, very sharp, absolutely helped us be undefeated 4-0 in the offseason. Okay. Also, N'Keal Harry, our draft, we drafted this wide receiver this year. He's on IR with an ankle injury, and he's going to be out with minimum 8 weeks. So hopefully we can get him for the second half of the season. And with that being said, you know, once again, Tom Brady starting this season with kind of like, you know, not too much depth at the wide receiver position, but we do balance that out with a pretty stacked running back backfield, you know what I mean? A set of running backs, basically. And I'll get into the wide receiver, you know, or the lack of wide receiver depth right now. I mean, we only have Julian Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, Philip Dorsett. You know, Demaryius Thomas, by the way, tore his Achilles, so this season he's coming back from an injury, but he's definitely coming back at a pretty good pace. He's looking really well in the preseason. Philip Dorsett, he's established himself as a reliable option for Tom Brady, I think. He definitely had that last season to establish that. Josh Gordon, I think he had, you know, an outstanding season with Tom Brady last year. So he looks to, you know, he just got reinstated, and I think he does look to make a splash throughout this season. Rookie Jacoby Myers, which I think he played a really outstanding role in our preseason. And our undrafted prospect, Gunnar Olszewski. So he was also returning punts during the preseason, and he's kind of like following a similar storyline to, you know, Danny Amendola, Jules before him, Welker, just sort of this like underdog mentality guy, returning punts in the slot, you know, a guy that's the kind of like Josh McDaniels really likes in that position. With that being said, our offense, you know, although we do have some sort of uncertainty on our O-line, I think what we're going to be forced to do in this game against the Steelers having, you know, refreshed their defense, we're going to have to rely on quick passes. Maybe we're going to rely on zone runs to the outsides. You know, Sonny Michel and James White are going to be splitting the running back touches most likely. With that being said, we do face a Steelers defense, like I was mentioning, that's been refreshed and basically stacked. All they've focused on, apparently, I think in their offseason for the Steelers, for the most part, was building back this defense and really establishing themselves as a physical sort of defense, as they've always been known to be over in Pittsburgh. So some new additions for the Steelers defense include Cameron Hayward. You know, they got him from the Panthers, his defensive lineman, Steve Nelson, a cornerback, Mark Barron, inside linebacker. He was with the Rams. Devin Bush, an inside linebacker. I think he's a rookie, Devin Bush, who's a good sideline to sideline threat, I was reading. And really, they kept adding, or they have some additions to their linebacking core that gives them more depth. Ever since Ryan Shazier kind of like got injured, they've really suffered from the lack of having a good defensive presence in the middle of their linebacking core. So they're, you know, they seem to have solved that problem. Let's see if that really does work out well for them. Course, the Patriots are at home. So in the history of the series, the Pats and the Steelers are 16-16. Brady is 8-3 against the Steelers. However, he's 5-0 at home against the Steelers. He's nearly perfect, or with 18 touchdowns and 0 interceptions at home against the Steelers. It's going to be the Steelers' first trip to Gillette Stadium since the 36-17 loss in the AFC Championship game in January 2017. However, last year the Steelers did win in Pittsburgh. They beat us 17-10 in a December 16 game that, you know, late in the season. It does really matter if you win or lose those games late in the season, because, you know, teams are in the hunt for playoff berths and whatnot. Obviously, we did make it to the playoffs that season, and we actually won the Super Bowl, but that doesn't mean that, you know, although they beat us in Pittsburgh, they probably still have that confidence of, you know, let's try to do something similar. We have played this team several times. They're going to attack us with all they have, absolutely. However, I think that our defense is looking great. We're going to be at home. We're dropping the banner for the Super Bowl championship we just got. and our defense is, you know, they've been consistent, and we have great continuity in the backfield, especially throughout the playoffs. By backfield, I mean defensive backfield, throughout the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So I have a lot of confidence in that group. The new lineup on the defensive front, so we'll see how they match up, you know, against the very good Steelers offensive line. But, you know, Kyle Van Noy is leading that front, and that linebacker core is definitely being headed by Dante Hightower. Jerod Mayo, once again, I mentioned this in the last episode, Jerod Mayo leading our squad and calling the defensive plays most likely. What I saw in the offseason out of our defense was nothing short of like the best defense I've seen in a while. So, you know, I hope that You know, the Steelers offense consisting of Juju. I hope that the Steelers offense, you know, although they put up a good fight, I hope our defense is able to shut them out. And the Steelers offense consists of Juju Smith-Schuster, Dante Moncrief, Ryan Switzer, Vance McDonald, James Conner, and obviously Big Ben at quarterback, who can absolutely rally his team together and put up a fight against the Pats. In my opinion, though, the Pats being at home, like I mentioned, dropping the banner, I think we're going to be ready to go. The fans are going to be crazy, and everyone's going to be ready to just do their job. I think the Pats win 33-27. The over-under is 49 points, and it's saying, so I found the over-under on one website to be 49 points and the Pats favor to win by 5.5, but I think Caesars in Vegas has the over-under at 50 points with Pittsburgh, you know, favor to win 30-28. So, you know, people really believe that Pittsburgh's defense has gone a step up and their offense has not lost a step, so people have confidence that Pittsburgh is ready to go into Foxborough and finally get their win in Foxborough. Like I mentioned, the Pats are 5-0 against the Steelers at home, so I just think that streak continues. Obviously, I'm a Pats fan, so we're going to be rooting for the Pats over here. Okay, with that being said, you know, that talk about over-unders and stuff, I'll use that to segue into my fantasy talk. You know, that's part of a strategy that I use when I pick my my players for my lineup and really for my draft. I see you know, obviously I try to pick players from good offenses and overall good teams. So that's my overall draft strategy. I try to go with running backs. I think running backs late in the season are absolutely rare. So if you're able to stack up on running back talent, I think that's the way to go. I'll talk more about that in the next segment, though. Overall, I think the Pats win this Sunday night, so let's get ready for kickoff. Before that, let's talk about some fantasy football. Stay tuned. All right, so let's continue talking about fantasy football. So this week in fantasy, here's my starting lineup. I have two fantasy leagues, so I'm just going to talk about either or, you know, every time we come on. I think the most compelling one is the one that I'll talk about. The one that kind of like, I care about the most, really. The one that have some money in the game. I'll talk about that. And really, in my draft, I wanted to focus on, as I mentioned in the previous segment, on running back talent. So I think later in the season, if you don't have a good running back, it's going to be hard for you to, say, for example, it's going to be hard for you to make up points if you're going up against a, you know, formidable fantasy opponent that has, say, for example, stacked wide receiving core, which that's exactly what I'm facing this season. This week, my opponent actually has DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas. So, in order for me to combat that, I mean, my mentality into my draft was, let me get stacked on running backs so that I have guaranteed usage, you know what I mean? And then, in any case, in any opportunity that I could, I would go for running back ones on different teams, and wide receiver ones, tight end ones. Really, I'm not really going for handcuffing as much as I'm going for, you know, good teams. I mean, players that are on good teams and they're the first option for the quarterback and for that team to score points. So, with that being said, at quarterback, I have Jameis Winston, and he is, I think, you know, coming back after Fitzmagic kind of like crashed his welcome party last season. I think he's really coming back into this season like, all right, they're giving me full control again. I just need to execute and, you know, prove that I am the franchise quarterback for this team. He's going against the San Francisco 49ers. The over-under for this game is 45 points, and they have Tampa Bay at home winning 27-24. So, you know, he has a lot of weapons. Mike Evans being obviously like the best wide receiver on that team, but he, you know, he has a decent backfield, and I think, you know, he's gonna be productive in this game. So I think it's a good play for quarterback. And then Zeke Elliott is gonna be my running back one. Luckily, he got paid, as I mentioned in the first segment. In the first segment in the intro, he said, you know, he's now the highest paid running back, and I think the Cowboys are gonna make 100% use of that contract. So they're going to run him so much. I mean, this offense already runs through Zeke, so I think that's why they had to pay him. Anyway, he's going against the Giants. The over-under for this game is 45 points, and they have the Cowboys at home winning 26-20. I think Zeke is a wonderful running back play. I think I drafted him 4th overall or 3rd overall, I can't remember, but definitely he was my first round pick. Have to put him in my lineup. 2nd round pick, I think, was Nick Chubb, and that's going to be my running back too. He's going against Tennessee at home. I'm a true believer, I think, in this Cleveland Brown offense. I believe in the storylines of this team. Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham joining the squad, Jarvis Landry. I mean, let's go. In the AFC North, I think this team can really battle for first. Anyway, they have Caesars here is doing the. I'm reading this, the over unders and the predictions from Caesars. So, generally, I have a good idea of the teams already. So I know whether or not, you know, this offense can match up against a certain defense, so that's what will help me choose my lineup. And I think this Cleveland offense against the Tennessee defense that I saw go against my Patriots in the preseason, that defense was like it needed just some tightening up to do. And I think that team overall doesn't allow for example, like that offense to play complementary football with the defense and special teams. So the Tennessee Titans are a work in progress. Cleveland, I think, is kind of like in stride. The addition of OBJ, which is my wide receiver one, I think adds another dimension to this team. So I have Nick Chubb, OBJ. For my wide receiver two, Tyler Boyd from Cincinnati. He's going against the Seahawks. The over-under is 44 points, and they have the Seahawks at home, obviously winning and beating the Cincinnati Bengals 33-23. The reason why I have Tyler Boyd on a losing team this week is Tyler Boyd is the wide receiver one in Cincinnati. Cincinnati loves to throw the football regardless with Andy Dalton, and he's going to be the first option. I don't think Tyler Boyd has, he's going up against, like, I think, a recovering secondary. Not really. It's definitely, it's basically, it's far from the Legion of Boom. So I think I have good confidence that Tyler Boyd will give some good production at the wide receiver 2 slot that I have him at. And then also in the Cleveland Tennessee Titan game, I had the tight end Delanie Walker from the Titans. And Delanie Walker, ever since I started playing fantasy football, I've known him over the last couple of years to be just like a top 3, top 5 tight end across the league. And if he can stay healthy, he's definitely the number one option for Marcus Mariota when Marcus needs to gain yardage. When he needs an escape, he knows that Delanie Walker is there. The chemistry they have is unparalleled. I've watched games solely to watch Delanie Walker perform, and it's freaking awesome. I really like this tight end. I think he's healthy, or at least healthy enough to play, and it's going to be at Cleveland. This team has to, you know, string together as many good, you know, performances as possible. They're no doubt going to, you know, run this offense through Delanie Walker and Marcus Mariota. So that's my tight end. And on my flex position, I have Damian Williams, the running back from Kansas City. And they're going against Jacksonville, at Jacksonville. The over-under for this game, high-scoring game, 52 points. And they have Kansas City winning 28-24. And I saw Damian Williams tear up the Patriots in that AFC Championship game. Luckily, the Patriots had just enough luck on their side for D4 to go offsides, and we won that game because Tom Brady is clutch. But no doubt, Damian Williams is the one option. And of course, recent addition, LeSean McCoy to the Chiefs running back situation is going to be option 2. So I trust that Damian Williams obviously knows the offense more, so they'll play with him more. And I trust that, you know, he's going to be, you know, that option out the backfield for Patrick Mahomes. And so it's lit. As my flex, I really like it. And they have Kansas City obviously scoring hella points here. My kicker, Stefan Gutskowski. He just got another extension. He's going against Pittsburgh. We're going to be scoring a lot. The over-under that Caesar has here is 50 points. And they have Pittsburgh, like I mentioned earlier, winning 30-28. I don't think it's going to be that easy for Pittsburgh to score that many points at New England in Foxborough when we drop the banner. I understand we're dropping the banner. Our 6th championship, the only other team that did that is the Steelers. We're doing it when we're playing the Steelers. Let's go. That should just encourage the defense. We're not going to get outscored, I think, on Sunday night. So Stephen Gutskowski, I think, is going to get a lot of opportunity. Hopefully my kicker gives me good points. In defense, I have the Eagles against Washington. Washington still needed. I think I don't trust the wide receivers from Washington that too much. They have an okay running back by committee. Jordan Reed is, you know, concussion protocol, a tight end that can't stay healthy. I actually drafted him, but I dropped him and got Delanie. I just trust Delanie better than, you know, hearing that Jordan Reed got a concussion. So regardless, I like the Eagles. And Caesars like the Eagles. The over-under is 45 points. Eagles win 33-24. I think this defense is definitely going to stomp out that Washington Redskins offense. The projected points for this week is going to be 126-49. And they have me winning, projectedly, against my opponent, 123-17. So that's just a quick rundown of my fantasy football squad. Of course, if you guys like fantasy football, you can always like hit me up at Chef Sole on Instagram. On Twitter, I'm at El Chef Sole. So regardless, you know, let's have a fun and exciting rest of our NFL week. And thank you guys so much for tuning in and sticking through this whole podcast. I hope you have a great Saturday and an even better NFL Sunday. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.